This is Laughs and Littles, a conversation about friendship and faith in the midst of motherhood. Life with littles is better when we do it together, so grab a load of laundry and join us for some laughs.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
So we want to talk about how we do and don't read with our kids, like how to get into a flow of reading and just several things about the culture of reading in our homes, because it is such a big part of both of our homes. And a lot of things we've learned these, and some of them we just do intuitively. So the first big one is not constantly quizzing our kids, like letting there be flow with the reading. I remember this was like a big Montessori concept that I learned about outside of reading, just that like people and parents, like we're always quizzing our children, and people are always, especially strangers, they're always like asking them random questions. Like, do you know this? Do you know this? Like the other day, even we were having a conversation with some friends that we haven't talked to in a long time. And Clara was sharing things about her class and what she's learning. And someone asked her like a super random question that she did not know the answer to. And then the conversation just like stopped. And I was like, you know, I didn't blame that person, but I'm just like, yeah, the quizzing really disrupts flow. So when you're reading a book, if you're asking them like, oh, how many penguins do you see? Or like, what do you think of that? Even that like can disrupt the flow and just the enjoyment of reading a book. especially with new books, like if it's the first like 1 to 5 times that they're reading it, they're still just like soaking it in, just like letting them soak it in. We'll get a little bit more into like if they have questions and how to kind of like respond in a good way to keep the flow, but also acknowledge them during that. But just like first and foremost, like just read the book. You don't have to like ask them questions about the book to make sure they're understanding. And I think I've seen this a lot with grandparents and just kind of that generation where they want to do that when they're reading books with kids. And I think that's because they're trying to connect with the kids and they're trying to get to make sure, like, did you comprehend this? They're using it as a time of like, did you understand what I read to you? But, you know, kids need time to soak things in. And it's not the time for a conversation, I would say. Like, it's the time for me to read you a story and to like, let's enjoy the flow of the story together.
Yeah. So the next thing is about balancing, finding books of interest, nonfiction, and then just different with ages and yeah, different age kids. And I think that one example you gave of how many penguins do you see? That is a trick I will use if I'm reading a very familiar book with a really young kid and a like 3 or 4 or 5 year old who I want to like be interested in reading with us. Mm-hmm. But it's like Goodnight Moon or something. And I'll say like, do you see the mouse? To like have the older kid be looking for something on the page to feel like there's something I'm looking at in this book that I've read a million times.
Yeah. 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 I mean, and that's the hard part, I feel like, when you have multiples, is like just coming to acknowledge like, yeah, one book is only really going to target kind of like 2 kids at a time. I feel like for me with my kid, 3 kids, of like, it's either the younger 2 or the 2 older ones. And it's really hard to, so yeah, little tricks like that. Yeah, definitely can help, but it is a good thing to think about of not just reading books that they're interested in. You got to find books that they're interested in, books that are going to be good content for them, books that are nonfiction, and also books that are actually appropriate for that age and stage. And I've noticed that Cecilia just interrupts the most with books because as the youngest, she's just the one who gets the least books catered to her age. So she is less engaged. And when it's just her and I reading and it's much more at her level, then she's getting in the flow and she's sucked in by the story and interested in the story. I also think a lot of books for younger kids are bizarre. They're like poems about like a penguin on a one page, a cat on the next page, a bird on the next page. And it's like, there's no stories. It's just like things happening. And those aren't or interesting stories you get into a flow.
A trend I've seen too is just like the past couple years is picture books that are really for adults. Like,
yes.
Yeah, kind of in a poem form. And it's like about the kid realizing that they can have the confidence to be something they want to be. And there's no story.
It's so abstract.
It's so abstract.
Yeah.
And you're reading this and you're like, yeah, I get the message of this book. But the kids are just kind of like, what
Wait,
is this
they're
book?
At school? Why are they at the park now? Where's the mom? Are they there by themselves?
But these are like, these are the books that the library puts like front and center for kids to grab. They're like the popular books. And I'm like, I don't get this trend. Like these aren't, I would read this book once and then be like, hide that one. I don't want to read that one again. Like, it was a dumb book.
Give me a good story that I can follow that's age appropriate.
Tell this in a story.
I also don't keep any books that have flaps or like any sort of like toy on them. To me, like reading is not a time, like that's just distracting from the flow. If it's like got little flaps to open up, like we'll get those from the library sometimes. They'll kind of like make their way in, but not the books that we like keep. The books that we have and own are like treasures. Good stories, stories that I'm sentimentally attached to, or they are, or like really good information. And then we get about, I don't know, 75 library books a month, and we can just like go through those. And that's my strategy of like, and I don't put them out all at once. I'll put them out like 15 or 20 at a time. Yeah. I remember trying to explain that to someone years ago, and she was like, well, like, shouldn't reading be fun? I was like, reading is fun. You don't have to make it fun with books that make noises. Like, that's saying that reading isn't fun and you're trying to make it more fun. It's stop trying to make something good, not good. No. Or just like distracting.
So yeah, if a kid does have a question.
I think it's great to be really conscious about how you're answering that in as few words as possible, as clearly as possible, and in a whisper voice. Because when you distinguish your calm reading narrative voice into a whisper voice, it sends a very clear message to the kid that this is like not part of the story. And I'm going to pay attention to you and I'm going to answer this part. And then I'll definitely tell my kids, like, if they start to like get down a whole new road of questions about this topic that doesn't pertain to the book and is taking away from the story, it's good conversation, but there's also maybe one or two kids here. And also, I'm trying to teach you to get into a flow of reading. I'm not just here to answer all your questions. Like, that's a great question. And I'm not saying don't answer kids' questions. I'm saying we do want to teach kids how to complete things, how to get in a flow of things. And so I'll say to them, like, I'll answer the question. If they keep going down, then I'll say, like, okay, we're reading. And then I'll go back to the reading. Just telling, like, that's a reminder, like, we're reading. And then I do this with, even in normal life, not when we're reading books, especially with the younger kids, when you get like the questions, just questions all the time that there don't seem to be a stop to. And so Cecilia's question today was, why does the fire truck have eyes? And I said, is this a silly book? She goes, yeah. And I have found that when I ask a question that has a yes answer, the child ends the question segment with the yes. If I could say, oh, because it's a silly book. Why is it a silly book? And then you're like,
Yeah.
Somebody's saying, is this a silly book? Yeah. And then we continue.
Satisfying.
So it's so satisfying. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I answered the question.
Yes. I know what's up.
Your sexuality is good, holy, and beautiful. If that doesn't feel true, you're in the right place. We believe Jesus knows your sexual brokenness and is inviting you to wholeness. We hope to bring you that invitation every week as we explore topics from friendship to fantasy, loneliness to lust, and more. We are dedicated to helping you connect your struggle to your story and your story to God, because every bit of you is sacred by design.
With the code LAUGHSANDLITTLES10, you can get 10% off your order at chooselife.com.
I was pulling out some stuff getting ready for Dominic, some of Paul's old baby stuff and the girls' old baby stuff, and I found our little Choose Life decade for babies. And I was like, oh yeah, these are super cute. So I just totally wanted to remind everyone that they have these beautiful decades for babies that are just like perfect grasping 10, you know, silicone beads. Yeah, just like the little ring that they can like hold, and you can like snap it on to things, a necklace or a shirt or a backpack.
Cute. With the code LAUGHSANDLITTLES10, you can get 10% off your order at chooselife.com.
Because like also a lot of those questions, like they know the answer to. They just want to talk about it. They just want to point it out to you. Mm-hmm. Like she knows fire trucks don't really have eyes in real life. Tell me about what you are reading with your kids right now.
So for a long time now, like probably over a year, we've been mostly reading a chapter from a chapter book before bedtime, but having to balance, you know, Kiara, Zaylee, and Evange keeping their interest. So it's been like chapter books that have pictures are the best because then Kiara is like waiting for the next picture. Show me the picture. So right now we're reading, and then it also works if there's less pictures, but they're they're familiar with the book. So we're rereading On the Banks of Plum Creek, Laura Ingalls Wilder. And in the somewhat recent past, we've been through the Ramona Quimby series, which was pretty funny because Zaylee.
Yeah.
And Narnia, but that was kind of longer ago.
Yeah. I remember Evangeline cried when you finished the last Narnia book.
Did she?
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
I remember you telling me that and you were like, oh, wow. You understand what it's like to finish a series. That just that feeling.
There's no more books.
There's no more. That like, what?
But recently she's been rereading them by herself, which is so cool.
Amazing. She is light years beyond Claire's reading.
It
right
just
now.
Like really took off. Like, you know, in second grade.
Amazing.
It's all happened in the last few months. We're at the park and she was sitting on the swing reading Calvin and Hobbes. And I was like, who is this big kid? Such a big kid. Anyway. So yeah, but so Kiara will be the one to ask more often, like, what's happening now? Mm-hmm. And I'll just like quickly sum up because I want to keep her like somewhat interested and like some have some idea of the plot. Sure. Chris will kind of just like plow, like just kind of ignore her and just like keep reading. I'm like, come on. Like she's three. And then
it's hard. It's a hard balance. Yeah. To keep flow, but also help the younger kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And then books after school, we just in like the last week and a half got back in the library hall rhythm. Cause I've not had good luck with the libraries here, but I'm curious when you get your 75 books, how do you, so like I go to the Read Aloud Revival website. Cause she has lists for like the month and different things. And so I will request books based off those recommendations. Mm-hmm. And then when we picked them up this last time, like they picked out a few. So it's like a mix of some Pinkalicious and Disney Princess compilation stories mixed in with the ones I've gotten. So it's like, yeah, books, ones they really want to read, and then hit or miss on the ones that I've picked out, but which are like folk tales or like picture book biographies. And I'm like doing it again this week. I requested more books because I was like, this is good to have new books in the house. And I don't want to keep reading the same ones. So
yeah. Unfortunately, that's the thing. They would love to probably read the same book 1,000 times. But
yes. Those are geared more for Zaylee and Kiara. And then it's, you know, good to have ones for like Zaylee getting quality time, snuggling on the couch, reading when she gets home from school, and Kiara reading before she starts her cozy time when she gets home from school. So books.
Yeah.
The best.
No, and thinking consciously about, like, what is each child interested in slash what appropriateness and what age. I mean, it does, it takes a lot of thought and a lot of lists. And yeah, I'm the same as you, where I put special books on hold that I know we can go get and then let them pick some out. I pick some out. And sometimes we read a book and I'm like, nope. And I just like instantly put that one away. Or if I'm really good, I'll look through the ones they chose before we bring them home, or even after we brought them home, before they see them, and put them away. I'm like, this is trash. But it's a whole process. I think another point being, like, we have got to remember to just read slower and allow for pauses, because I think we're just so used to everything being so fast, and somehow we think faster is better, but really just like kids want to read slowly and they appreciate when you read slower and have like a soft voice to go along with reading. So like, that's just like, it's like simple, but not easy, because it's a habit.
Yeah.
So we are with Clara right now, being 6.5. We did just finish The Magician's Nephew, and then now reading Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is super fun and has a lot of characters. And I listened to, we'll post a link to it, Diapers and Disciples years ago. She had a guest come on who had lots of kids and was a huge reader herself. And just like reading was a huge culture in her house, as it is in our houses. And she had such great tips. Yeah. On like even more specifics on how to get the good books from the library. The episode wasn't so much on how to read with kids, but she, like we're getting into, but she did talk about doing really good voices and the importance of that in like getting into a really good story. And I think I am much better at voices when I myself am listening to audiobooks. Like if I'm in that zone of like, I'm currently listening to an audiobook while I do dishes, and then like hours later I go and read a book, I just like have a better sense of how a really good book is read out loud, and I pick better voices. But I always have to remind myself, like, pick voices that are sustainable. Yeah. And like, I had the thought of like doing some British accents with Chronicles of Narnia, and I was like, no, I cannot keep that up. So I am not even going to start, and I can do this. Whatever you can like do steadily. And then she's also reading the Kirsten American Girl series, and like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Some of them I'll like read to her, and then some of them she'll listen to on audiobook. So it's almost like, it's like a little bit of those both. So that's really fun as well. And then Paul right now is just still really into Magic Treehouse, and he consumes those.
Yeah. What's the nonfiction you're reading?
It's this great, Paul loves it. It's this one of those little mini DK like encyclopedia books, and it's like the body book. And it's one that Paul got for Christmas that I had requested. And it's like he opened it and was like, I don't want this. And then 2 minutes later was like, let's read every single page. And he's very good. He knows exactly what page we're on, and he wants to read every single part of that page. And when I flip the page, he's like, did you read everything?
Yeah.
But I laughed and he asked me that because Cece calls it, we should read Paul's Body and Blood book. And a lot of dinosaur books. We know everything about all the dinosaurs. So yeah, Body and Dinosaurs. That's the nonfiction.
Oh yeah, I guess we read some dinosaur books. I was just thinking, like, we don't read any nonfiction.
Clara a few weeks ago was like, I want war books. Let's get books about war. We're like, okay, so we got some books, and then the one that's some of them, you know, I was like, you're not going to be interested in this. Like, I didn't say that, but the one that stuck was one really good long picture book about the Boston Tea Party. And she thought that was super fascinating. I was like, great. I got 10 books, one stuck. That's great. It's fine. It's all good.
Oh, reading in front of your kids?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, reading in front of your kids, like this whole thing, like we're talking about it because we want our kids to become lifelong readers and lifelong learners, right? And you know, we have to model that. And I know it's at time, there have been stages in life and in parenting where it is just a lot harder. And there are times where it's a lot easier, but just them knowing like that you are reading books. You know, Alex has a book club that he goes to once a week at 7 p.m. and they're going to bed, but they know like he's leaving for book club. That just like planting that seed. And they see me reading books and they know where like my books are that I'm reading on the bookshelf. Yeah. Like where his books are. Just like that they have a concept of it. And my kids also know that I listen to books. You know, if they come in and it's Alex's time with them, but if they come in and they see me on my headphones, what are you doing? I'm listening to my story. Here, you want to listen to it for a minute? Like they know I listen to stories and they know I read stories. And I remember in reading a Montessori book, them talking about like setting aside an hour a day with you and your baby to just like, this is only works if you have one baby and it's like your first time and like sitting and you read your books and I'll read my book. I'm like, that is cool. Like that is really cool. And I wouldn't have thought of that. And I'm kind of, you know, making fun of it because it sounds very picturesque, but like, yeah, like reading books in front of all your kids, because like, why not?
Yeah. I thought of that because I really wanted to do yoga this morning and John, I was just like hoping like settle into something, like find something to do. Mm-hmm. And he did. He found like pulling books off the bookshelf, sitting, flipping through them on the couch. And I was like, yeah, we've done that together, but you also see Evangeline sitting and reading books and like Sailing Kiara wanting to sit and read books, like modeling.
Yeah. So, you know, I think during different seasons, I've had to accept that like we'll read a lot more or a lot less. Like I remember in the summertime, I was really disappointed this summer, which we did have a busy summer with moving, but I was like, we're still home most of the summer. You know, we didn't do a ton of traveling and no one wasn't like they did. It wasn't a super, super busy summer, but the kids wanted to play outside all the time and they wanted to play with neighbors. And I was like, yeah, this is fine. This is great. This is like good weather time. We're not sitting down reading for 2 or 3 hours a day. Would I like to? Yes.
Save that for South Bend winter time.
Yep. So
got a summer hard when you have it.
Oh, goodness.
What made you laugh this week?
The kids came down for breakfast and Clara said, I had a bad dream. And I was like, I had a bad dream too. And Paul goes, I don't remember my dream. So Clara first, she said, I had a dream because we're reading Meet Kirsten. She said, I had a dream that we were on the boat coming to America and you and I got separated on different boats for a whole year. I was like, oh my gosh, that is terrible. Like that's too real. Sad. And Paul goes, oh, I remember. I had a dream about a bear. That's all I remember. Okay. And I happened to have had a really bad dream that night and I remembered it. And I said to him, I had a dream you guys had way too much Tylenol and had to have heart surgery. And they were like, whoa. Which I kind of just shared of like, yeah, we all have bad dreams. It happens. We can talk about it and then move on. And Cece goes, I had a good dream. No, wait, I had a dream that we were on a ship and we got separated. I said it was great. I'm like, no, you didn't.
We hope you have a great week with lots of laughs with your littles.